make unwise choices.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for tuning into the Refresh radio program. We are off and running here for another wonderful weekend, beautiful Brevard County, Florida, and we are inching closer and closer to cooler, more moderate temperatures, better golfing weather. Hallelujah. Pray that you are having a great day and that you are investing in your, investing in yourself spiritually to where you can be of great impact for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It wasn't too long ago, I was driving down the road with my wife, and for some reason I was just doing a little bit of math in my head. You can figure out exactly what day this is, this was, that this was taking place. I'm not going to go back and try and recalculate it, but I said, do you realize that today it is 100 days until Christmas? And so that was back, a few weeks ago. But I can tell you this, it's getting closer and closer, and so whatever you have in mind to do, do it quickly. So today we want to say thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If you have any issues with your air conditioning, you want to make sure that your heater is ready for the brutal winter temperatures, you know, when it drops down to the 40s here in Brevard County, or if you've got electrical issues, you want to be able to call someone who is qualified, who is competent, and is experienced, and will treat you with respect and do it for a great value. Well, Wyrick Air has been providing professional sales services and repairs in air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields for over 40 years now. It's actually getting closer to 50. They work in residential and light commercial settings and even provide emergency service when necessary. They strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So for all of you who are new to Brevard County and moved in from all of those other states, and you're wanting to know who you should call for your air conditioning system, write this number down, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. They're based in Rockledge, Florida, but they travel all throughout Brevard County. They deal with traditional condensing units and air handlers. They deal with package units, which it's all in one, like a mobile home system or a very small home system. They also deal with mini split systems, and my latest encounter with them was dealing with electrical issues. So write that number down, so when you need to call them, you won't have to go wondering what you did with that phone number. You can put it in your phone. That's where I have it for me. I just tell my phone to call Wyrick Air whenever I need to schedule an appointment. That number for you one more time is 321-632-9538. We are progressing here through Acts chapter 15, and seeing how the fact that Peter had come to a revelation that God is not partial when it concerns people, but he wants all men everywhere to be saved, and he acknowledges people who've been saved by giving them the Holy Spirit and making no distinction between people. And so it was one thing for them to believe that they could be saved. In Acts chapter 15, they're dealing with how should new believers live. You got to understand, this was all groundbreaking territory. There are a lot of people who want to go back and look at the lens of history through their modern perspective And I want you to know that that can be dangerous because it sets you up to judge people of that time with the revelation that you now have. So, for instance, and this is my number one example. There are people that look back and say, how could God ever ask Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac? Isaac was a gift from God. He was to bring joy. Well, the truth of the matter was that Abraham believed that God was going to raise him from the dead because he testified, we're both coming back to you. What people do not take into consideration when they are judging the Bible and condemning the God that Abraham walked with was that child sacrifice was everywhere back in ancient civilization. It was all over the place. So you can find evidence of child sacrifice in Central America and South America. You can find it in the Middle East. You can find it all over the place. Here's the truth that I want to bring to those people who fail to consider, the actual reality of what took place with Abraham is God is the only God who stopped it. He said, Abraham, I don't want you to do that. You have demonstrated that you would not withhold anything from me, and I want you to know I'm not going to withhold anything from you. And so please do not look back and say, well, I'm smarter than they are or anything like that. You don't know all of the cultural issues that were going on. And, you know, you might have a little bit perspective now that they didn't have then. So, but I will tell you that something that I have learned is I've over the past several years, I've had conversations with my father, and I did well in school. I didn't do bad at all. My daughters did better, but I was honor roll material and made straight A's an awful lot. But I found that the vocabulary that my father learned when he was in school, and he didn't go to college, I did, but I learned that his vocabulary is extensive. His use of language is way better than what a lot of people have going today, where one word is used in every sentence and they can use it as a noun, a verb, and an adjective and use it 50 times before you can even catch a breath. That sort of linguistic ability doesn't impress me. It depresses me. So here's what's going on. We've talked about Peter and he brings to this council and is trying to bring resolution to this situation. Look, God is going to save us the same exact way that he saved them. You know, where the Pharisaical believers were looking at them and saying, look, unless they become like us, they can't be saved. And Peter flips the script and says, look, Jesus saved them, and he's going to save us by grace through Lord Jesus Christ, just the same as he has done for them. So what happens in verse number 12 is where we're going to begin reading and read down to verse number 18. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And after they had become silent, James answered and said, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. So let's look at verse number 12. When Peter says that, all of a sudden these critics, these Pharisaical believers, they've got nothing to say. They have just been silenced. And, you know, I think it's very wise that when you don't have anything to say, don't say it. Just hold your peace. Do yourself a favor and take some time to process, to think and evaluate, you know, because for some people, it never enters into their mind that they could be wrong. There are some things about the Word of God that I believe. I stand with scriptural backing, persuaded that my view is correct, but I hold that position with realizing that not everything that I believe can be definitively proven to be in the absolute category. Like, I absolutely believe that the only way to heaven is through a relationship with Jesus Christ having forgiven you of your sins. That's in the absolute. That's non-negotiable. There are some other things that due to timing and things of that nature that I don't elevate to the level of absolutes because of what I do see in the scripture. There were Pharisees who were confident that they had the exclusive rights to truth and prophetic timing, and they were so convinced about it that when Jesus appeared on the earth, they failed to see it. They were blind to it because they didn't recognize the fact that that God could have some things in mind that they were unaware of. So for me, I'm a pre-tribulation rapture guy. I believe that Jesus could come back at any moment. I realize there's still work to do. And I'm confident that he's not going to make his children who were living in obedience go through the same experiences of his wrath that unbelievers are going to have to go through. Doesn't mean that we're not going to experience the tribulations of men or the anger of the devil. I personally like it when I aggravate the devil. That just means that I'm doing the right thing. But God's not going to pour his wrath out on his children who are walking in obedience. Very confident of that. But I also hold out the possibility, you know, if people missed the timing and the plan of God with his first coming, you know, I don't want to be guilty of the same thing with his second coming. So I stand where I believe. I make no apologies for it, but I'm not going to elevate that to a position of an absolute. So these people finally come to the place and they say, you know what? We've got to take this into consideration. And so they held their peace, and that created an opportunity for Paul and Barnabas not only to bring a philosophical standpoint or a revelations point of view or perspective to this conversation, they brought experience. I remember someone saying, a person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with an argument. And so here is what Paul and Barnabas did. They began to declare how many miracles and wonders God had worked among them or worked through them among the Gentiles. And so they said, look, they're not only getting saved, but God is working through us in them. And it's not an isolated case. It is many, many, many occurrences, miraculous things that are taking place. And for that, we ought to say, thank God, to God be the glory. What would you give right now for God to be working in your midst? Because every week when we gather, that's what our number one goal is to experience the truth of God and allow him to have his way in our lives and in our church and in our community. We need God in America again. We don't need him to be silenced. We don't need him to be silenced by a Supreme Court. We don't need him to be silenced by a school board, or we don't need him to be silenced by a presidential decree or a congressional decree. We certainly don't need him silenced by Hollywood or the United Nations. We need God to be active, and it's time that society quit turning to Jesus simply as an escape hatch whenever a crisis is going on, and realize that we need God on the throne every single solitary day. And if we will allow him his rightful place, the place he wants, the place he desires, the place he deserves to be, we'll see that God's not retired. He's still doing miracles across our land if we will just step back and say, God, have your way. And so Paul and Barnabas begin to testify about all of those things, and you know what the critics did? I've got it circled again. Verse number 13, after they had become silent. So they were silent when Peter had his say. They were silent when presented with the historical accounts of what God was doing beyond the people's expectations. And because there's silence again, we have another person that steps up, and this is James. And James says in verse number 13, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Now, I believe that the church is supposed to be authentic. I believe it is supposed to be genuine. I believe that our role is to be ambassadors for Christ. I believe that we need to be people of influence. I think we need to be churches that are relevant, but I'm not ready to sacrifice any aspect of what we believe just to be accepted by our society. We are not here to please society. We are here to please God. We are not here to fit in. We're supposed to be like Abraham, who are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. So thank God for his blessings. Thank God for his hand being upon us throughout everything that we do here on earth. But earth is not my goal. Heaven is my goal. My goal is not to fit in with the world, because the world is at enmity against God. I don't want to find myself in opposition to God. In fact, God is looking to use the church to reach into hostile territory, if you will, so that he can take out of that kingdom of darkness a people for his own name. Verse number 14, God at first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Now, I want you to hear what he says next, because it is the standard. In verse number 15, he says, and with this the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, after this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins. I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things. So what James says is the thing that we've heard Peter say, the thing that we have heard Paul and Barnabas testify about. He says they agree with the word of God. I'm telling you, there are some churches that I could not feel comfortable worshiping in because they are there, the things that they are teaching and proclaiming do not agree with the word of God. And it is an absolute does not agree with the word of God. It's not a matter of semantics. It's not a matter of, well, they've just got a different opinion. Their belief system does not agree with the word of God. And what those churches have done is they have modified their teaching they've modified their belief system so that they can teach things that do not line up with the word of God. As Jesus would say, they have set aside the command of God for the sake of their new traditions. And I want you to understand that it is having a detrimental effect on their level of influence. You know, I encounter a lot of people who are in difficult situations, and I will tell them, I said, now look, I want you to know I am not an expert in this field. If you're needing me to pray for you for someone to be healed, I said, I want you to know I'm not a doctor. I've not played one on television. I've not played one on the radio. I'm here to bring faith to the equation. And so that's what I do. I bring faith into the situation because that's my field of specialty. It's gift from God to me. And I've seen God do too many things for me to say, you know what, I don't know if he's going to be able to do this one. I don't know if he's going to be able to pull this off. So I'm not, you know, contrary to medical personnel and medical intervention. I just believe that God has some abilities, some techniques, some skill sets that man hasn't understood yet. And so I'm thankful when man does his best, but it's like, I'm thankful that God can go above and beyond. Listen, when you walk into a hospital room to say goodbye to your grandmother, and she was a believer, and she says, you know, I've got such a wonderful family. I've decided that I'm not going to die. I know the doctors have said that I'm going to die, but I've made a decision. I'm not going to die right now. And she didn't. The day they thought that by the time she would have been dead, she actually walked out of the hospital. She lived for another 5 years. So I'm that faith person. And so I'm looking for things that line up with the word of God. And so the word of God says, if you are alive, if you are breathing, that Jesus wants you to have a personal relationship with him. There are some believers that say, look, unless you look like me, talk like me, think like me, then I don't want to have anything to do with you. My goal is this. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what the strongholds in your life are right now. If you have a heartbeat, if you have a breath, Jesus can save you, can forgive you, can do great things through you, can break every stronghold in your life. That's where I am at. And so I've coined this term because Christians tend to get accused of being phobic about everything under the sun. It's like, I refuse to discriminate. I refuse to discriminate. I refuse to discriminate against people who are alcoholics or drug addicts. I refuse to discriminate against people who are living in sexual sin or addictive sin. I refuse to discriminate against the proud, the rich, the poor. I refuse to discriminate against males or females. Those are the only two options. Every one of them deserves to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think a lot of times Christians forget where God brought them from, what he delivered them from, the powers that were in operation of their lives that they were using as instruments of unrighteousness, and now they get to be used as servants of righteousness for God. Don't ever forget where God brought you from, because that testimony will cause faith to rise up in your soul that people who are currently living in strongholds can also experience the glorious freedom that is in Jesus Christ. You could start this week bound in sin, but because of this message today, you could ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life. And by, you know, by the time this week is over, you could be walking in glorious victory. That's what Jesus can do. Jesus, in the New Testament, it's said to the church when describing some of the strongholds of sin in this world, it speaks to the church and it says, "Such were some of you." So no matter what label man has put on you today, I want you to understand that God sees tremendous potential in you. When my wife and I looked for our house, a lot of people look for a house that where everything is ready. They call that a turnkey house. You know, that you're going to walk in, you're going to turn the key, move your furniture in, and bam, you're done. When we look for things, we look for potential. We look beyond things that would turn other people away. And we said, "God, where's the house you have for us?" And you know what? It was a fixer-upper. We didn't have the budget to fix it all up. And so we just continued to live in it and fix things up day after day after day, week, year after year after year. And, you know, there's still some things that we could do. But I will tell you, watching God's faithfulness through the years and seeing the transformation, it's wonderful. The only thing more wonderful than that is seeing the transformation that God brings into a person's life. This church struggled with the concept that Gentiles could hear and be changed by the power of God. I don't know who you might be struggling with, but I can tell you this. Jesus believes he can make your life a whole lot holier and a whole lot better. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Here's a Renewing Your Mind Minute with Dr. R.C. Sproul.
We've been told so often that God is a God of love, he's a God of grace, who forgives us freely of our sins, and the idea we have then of God is that all God has to do to reconcile us to himself is to dispense his forgiveness upon us. But when we think like this, we forget that God is holy. We forget that God is just. And when God justifies his people, he doesn't just do it by a unilateral act of forgiveness, because to do so would be a complete violation of his own justice. God will not wink at sin. God will not simply pass over it without exacting a punishment for it.